Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
As a child, Thanksgiving and Black Friday really didn't have anything to do with eating or finding a good deal. No, Thanksgiving and Black Friday really only meant one thing, that Santa Claus was coming. And in less than 4 weeks would be stopping by my house, descending down the chimney, and leaving treasures laid over the living room couch. Now, as a five-year-old, this truth thrilled me. And as a 10-year-old, it mystified me. And as a 15-year-old, well, it just plain agitated me, like everything else in high school. The question of truth is one that each of us is faced with countless numbers of times over the course of our lives. As we grow and are faced with new circumstances, with new facts, our understandings of the world and its mysteries are molded afresh. Upon entering my freshman year of university, I recall a dearly loved family member's advice, his understanding of truth, and of all things it was concerning politics. He remarked, "If by 18 you're not liberal, then you're simply not living in the world. And if by 30 you're not conservative, then you're simply not living in reality." Agree with it or not, that was his understanding. Well, I've yet to reach 30, so I can't say that I've fully discerned the truth of these words. Recently, though, I witnessed a bumper sticker on a brand new Chevy Tahoe, brand new, 2012, that had a sticker on it that simply read, "Reagan Bush 84. Truth, it seems, can have a bit of irony. I bring this experience to light this morning because as a community of believers, comprised on one level of many political truths and understandings, to call ourselves Christians is to recognize a political truth on a much higher level that we all seek to live into, a political truth that we celebrate today on this feast of Christ the King, when we recognize the one who is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, while perhaps bittersweet, this is a critical reminder for all of us in the aftermath of a divisive and painful election. The clear distinction made in this morning's gospel is between the leaders of this world and God's world. So I wonder, how then do we discern the truths of this world juxtaposed with the truths of God's kingdom? How do we follow the King of Kings in a more and more seemingly pluralistic and disenchanted society where truth is found to be relative? This truth that so many of us passionately and sometimes desperately seek. Now, as you and I seek to understand this truth, we are confronted with Jesus' question, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" This question interrogates each of us as we sit here in this place, struggling with the realities of our lives and of our world, A world that seemingly finds it relevant to overlook the slew of tribulations that we all face. A world that fails to ask the difficult questions. That allows disease to run rampant. Economies to teeter on the brink of destruction as jobs waver. A world where divorce increases, where children long for safety, and where more and more, yes, in the 21st century, seem to be persecuted. Our circumstances, they're not far removed from those of the early communities of believers, from the community that the revelation to John, to that community that we heard about this in this morning's New Testament. The problems are still the same. So then, how can we call Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when the realities of the world seem to argue otherwise? How can we be faithful witnesses in an era marked by the destructive human behavior of God's creation? Why? Why do we call Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We recognize Jesus as King of Kings and Lord because even when the way is difficult, when the truth is difficult, it is Jesus that is the one that's in front of us and that leads us. Jesus is the one that we can follow. It is Jesus who leads us through the narrow gates of life, marked by the hells of death, and into the fullness of life. And we also recognize Jesus as King and Lord for the sake of joy. Jesus' life does not end in death or sacrifice. He triumphs over these things into the joy of resurrection. And this joy is a joy that is not just found at the end of a journey. There is joy in every step along the path, in every transformational encounter we have with another human being, in every breath that we take, in every meal that we share, and in every loving embrace that we share. There is joy to be had with Jesus on the journey, as well as at our journey's end. And so we call Jesus King and Lord because even as we pass through hardship and suffering, Jesus leads us along paths paved with joy. Jesus also sets us free. Yet the freedom of Jesus does not mean that we get to escape the complex realities of life. To make our way through those, we must realize that the one who holds the whole world in being is on our side, is rooting for us. The change in our circumstances that sets us free is the renewing of our minds, of God's truth that transforms the way we see, that allows us not to be conformed to the patterns and the anxieties of this age. Now, in this morning's gospel, we catch a glimpse of Jesus in his last hours being brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman authority of the day. And as he comes before Pilate, Pilate sarcastically asks, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus' response, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus offers us a new view of kingship in this gospel this morning. And one of the implications of this statement is that we need not look for palaces or other edifices to relate to Jesus' kingdom. There is no White House. There is no congressional office for this king. But yet, at the same time, Jesus is not saying that his kingdom is apart from us, is away from us. God's kingdom is here and now, in the dimension of this life where God's love rules. Jesus is not interested in being a political leader or affiliating with any political faction. I have come to bear witness to the truth, he says, to the truth of God's love and righteousness that no king can overturn. To a truth that liberates us from our false self, from the false kingdoms of this world, and which shows us our true self in God's kingdom that are grounded in true reality. My brothers and sisters, God's kingdom is here and it is now. If we allow truth to be a stimulant for our knowing God and living as active witnesses in our journey into God, we will begin to bring that kingdom into clearer sight. And it's this journey into God, into love, that is marked by sacrificial service, by the sacrificial service of human beings, of you and me, but not just us. Of all human beings, of all races, of all cultures, of all religions. It is us coming together, connected together as one, where we sacrifice our lives in loving service of one another. It is when our relationships with others are engaged and directed towards this common purpose. It is when the networks of this world are gathered around a common mission that God's truth begins to be revealed. And we begin to see signs of the kingdom's arrival here on earth as it is in heaven. If we choose, we will all be witnesses to God's truth, Christ's ascension of joy and freedom, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we choose. Amen.